Iran's president is in Lorestan province to open several development projects. Commander of the Iranian Army's ground forces says Iran is equipped with new anti-armored missiles. Iranian foreign minister says Iran hopes Geneva II talks help resolve Syrian issue. Syria army seizes Al-Dabba airport north of Qusair. And at least 5 soldiers are killed in western Iraq. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iran in English News with me, Iwan Chitsas. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad arrived in Khorramabad, capital city of the western province of Lorestan, on Saturday morning to inaugurate several development projects. Upon arrival, the president was welcomed by provincial governor and a number of local officials. The projects include inauguration of a hospital as well as construction of a dam and Burjet-Khorramabad road. Commander of the Iranian Army's ground forces says the country has been equipped with new domestically produced anti-armor missiles. Brigadier General Ahmad Reza Purdastan said the ground forces have recently received new anti-armor missiles that feature high capabilities and are specifically used to target tanks equipped with reactive armor and are therefore resistant to usual missiles. The commander said the ground forces have also received recently produced military equipment, including ground surveillance radar systems, as well as 2 types of tactical vehicles, which have significantly increased the country's defense capabilities. Purdastan added a number of the latest military equipment, including personnel carriers, were also tested during the recent Baitul Maqaddas 25 drills held in the central province of Isfahan. A senior Iranian commander has stressed the military might of the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps, saying the IRGC has thousands of missiles at its disposal to be used in case of any potential threat against Iran. Deputy Commander of IRGC, Brigadier General Hussein Salami, said thousands of missiles are ready to be fired at any desired target that is part of the enemy's vital interests in the region. Salami added that Iran currently stands at the apex of its power, while the enemy's strength is on the wane. The Iranian commander said the greatest achievement of Iran is that the country has achieved self-sufficiency in military and defense industries and is dependent on no foreign power. Over the past years, Iran has made important breakthroughs in its defense sector and attained self-sufficiency in producing important military equipment and systems. Iranian Foreign Minister expressed hope that the forthcoming Geneva II meeting will find ways to resolve the 26-month-old Syrian crisis. Ali Ekber Salehi made the remarks during a meeting with the visiting Turkish Minister of Food, Agriculture and Livestock, Mehdi Eker, on Saturday. The Iranian minister urged the regional countries, including Turkey, to help resolve the Syrian issue and prevent the crisis from getting further complicated. For his part, Eker said the Syrian problem would not be settled without the engagement of Tehran and Ankara. Now, the Iranian ambassador to the United Nations has dismissed claims about Iran's military presence in Syria and the shipment of arms by the Islamic Republic to the country. Mohammad Khazai said despite the unfounded allegations, no Iranian military forces or advisors are present in Syria. Khazai added, unfortunately, certain regional countries are interfering in Syria's internal affairs and fanning the flame of the conflict in the country by sending arms to extremist and terrorist groups. He stressed that Iran welcomes any measure aimed at finding a peaceful solution to the unrest in Syria, noting that Tehran will host a third meeting with the same objective in the coming days. Khazai emphasized that the involvement of other countries in the issue of Syria at regional and international scenes should be aimed at supporting a peaceful solution to the ongoing crisis by the Syrian people. He said this presence should also prevent the interference of other states in the country's internal affairs. Khazai reiterated that the political future of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad should be determined only through holding elections in the country. Elsewhere, Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab and African Affairs says Russia and China will participate in the upcoming Friends of Syria meeting slated to be held in the Iranian capital city of Tehran. Hossein Amir Abdullahian said representatives from Russia and China will attend the International Syria Conference due to be held on May 29 in Tehran under the banner of political solution, regional stability. He said the event will be a step toward the realization of a political solution based on ending the violence and holding national dialogue in Syria. Tehran has invited different countries, including Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar, which have other positions on the crisis in Syria, and welcomes them abroad when it comes to regional cooperation. Since the outset of crisis in Syria, Iran has always emphasized that violence should be stopped, and no weapons and terrorists should be sent to the country in order to find a solution to the issue. However, in Syria, the Syrian army has seized an airport in the strategic border town of Al-Qusair as it presses ahead to liberate the town fully from foreign-backed militants. The army also regained control of the Ba'ath Party headquarters in Qusair, killing large numbers of foreign-backed militants. Meanwhile, the Syrian government forces have also taken full control of the Homs-Baalbek highway after severe clashes with armed militants. Earlier in the day, the Syrian forces pounded the positions of the militants with heavy artillery and a rocket barrage. The Syrian army has kicked off the second phase of its operation in the town after successfully concluding the first phase of the battle. Qusair, which borders Lebanon, has been the scene of fierce clashes between Syrian forces and rebels over the past few days. So far, the army has inflicted losses on the foreign-backed insurgents and destroyed their weaponry and equipment. The Syrian crisis has dragged on for over 2 years, and many people, including large numbers of Syrian soldiers and security personnel, have been killed in the foreign-sponsored militancy. Hezbollah Secretary General has defended the Lebanese resistance movement's decision to fight foreign-backed militants in the Syrian border town of Al-Qusair. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah made the remarks on Saturday during a ceremony marking the 13th anniversary of the withdrawal of Zionist troops from southern Lebanon, known as the Liberation Day. Hezbollah leaders said if foreign-backed militants win the war in Syria, they will turn their weapons on Lebanon. Nasrallah further pointed out that the extremist Salafist groups form the backbone of the unrest in Syria, adding that the U.S.-backed armed groups are also a threat to all Lebanese communities. And here's another look at tonight's top stories. Iran's president in Lorestan province to open several development projects. Commander of the Iranian Army's ground forces says Iran is equipped with new anti-armor missiles. Iranian foreign minister says Iran hopes Geneva II talks help resolve Syrian issue. Syria army seizes Al-Dabah airport north of Qusair. And at least 5 soldiers are killed in western Iraq. At least 5 soldiers were killed in a bomb attack in the Iraqi Walderal province of Al-Anbar on Saturday. Provincial police source said the attack occurred in the afternoon when a roadside bomb went off near an Iraqi army patrol near the town of Heat, killing 5 soldiers, including a lieutenant colonel. No further details were revealed over the incident. This comes as at least 6 Iranian pilgrims have been killed and 20 others injured after a car bomb hit their bus in north of the Iraqi capital city of Baghdad. The attack occurred when a booby-trapped car hit the bus near the city of Samarra, some 110 kilometers north of Baghdad. This is the second blast against pilgrims traveling the same route this week. The car bomb went off on Monday, killing 14 people and wounding at least 15 others. More than 400 people have been killed and hundreds more injured in bombings and other acts of violence in Iraq since the start of May. This comes as the United Nations Assistance Mission for Iraq said on May 2nd that April was the deadliest month in Iraq since 2008, as terrorist attacks killed over 700 people and injured more than 1,600 others across the country. The body also stated that Baghdad was the worst-affected governorate, with a total of 211 killed and nearly 500 others injured. Bolivian President Evo Morales on Saturday stressed the need to promote mutual cooperation with the Islamic Republic of Iran in all fields, especially to to stop intervention of U.S. imperialism and arrogant powers in global affairs. President Morales appreciated Iranian assistance to Bolivia and called for promoting economic cooperation in all fields. He called on Iran to help its country on the path to economic development and progress. Elsewhere, Morales condemned foreign intervention in Syrian affairs, lauding Iran's stance about the issue. Unemployment rate in Portugal increased to 17.7% in the first quarter of 2013 from 16.9% in the fourth quarter of 2012. A correspondent in Lisbon has a report on administration of national steel jobs at risk.
During the last weeks, the National Steel Administration has made a public threat to lay off 750 workers. The company, which is the ninth largest exporter of the country, belongs to a Spanish group since 1996. According to a group administration, the intention to close doors in Portugal has to do with high energy costs, a threat the Workers' Commission doesn't believe it will be taken into action. The company has two manufacturing units in Portugal and complains the high energy bills have to do with the increase of taxes imposed by the Portuguese government. Américo Flor worked here for decades and is now head of the trade union for this sector. This union leader explains us why is it clear the workers are being used as political weapon for economical reasons. For the workers, it's now a question of waiting for the negotiations between the government and the company. The Spanish group manager claims that direct competition with National Steel Company presents lower costs of about 35% to 50% in the current situation. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kibar, Lisbon.
Now, Iceland Prime Minister Sigmundur David Gunnlaugsson says his government would suspend talks on entering the European Union. Criticizing the EU economic policies, Gunnlaugsson added Iceland is pending a referendum on whether the government continues the process of joining EU. He said Iceland must find stability by aiming for the same economic goals as those set for European Union states, even though it is skeptical about joining the EU and will keep its own currency.
The EU is going through tremendous changes, still faced with an enormous crisis, an unsolved crisis, and it's certain that there will be big developments within the EU in the coming years. So it's only logical for Iceland to step back and see what sort of organization the EU will become.
Following an attack in Kabul on Friday night, Afghanistan Interior Ministry on Saturday raised the death toll to at least three people. Afghan Interior Ministry spokesman said one police officer and two civilians were killed in the attack. Sadiq Sadiqi added at least 17 people were wounded, including seven international organizations for migration staff members. The Taliban quickly took credit for the attack, claiming that at least 44 people, mostly U.S. CIA agents, were killed in the attack that targeted a building used by the CIA. Taliban militants recently announced the start of their annual spring offensive against U.S.-led and Afghan forces, vowing a new wave of attacks across Afghanistan. The United States and its allies invaded Afghanistan in 2001 as part of Washington's so-called War on Terror. The offensive removed the Taliban from power, but insecurity remains across the country despite the presence of thousands of foreign troops.
We strongly believe that the IOM office was the ultimate target, and that was, as their spokesman said, that it's the CIA office. They cannot differentiate between CIA and the IOM. So that's, I think they find it very difficult to encourage their fighters to go and fight and wage jihad against the Afghan people.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRiot and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Till then, take care and have a very great time. Goodbye now.